Elhamdülillah nahmeduhu ve nestaînuhu ve nestağfiruhu ve nu'minu bihi ve netevekkelu aleyh. Ve na'ûzu billahi min şurûri enfusina ve min seyyiâti a'mâlinâ. Men yehdihillahu fela mudille leh ve men yudlilhu fela hâdiye leh. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن من الشجر شجرة لا يسقط ورقها وإنها مثل المسلم فحدثوني ما هي فوقع الناس في شجر البوادي قال عبد الله ووقع في نفسي أنها النخلة فاستحييت ثم قالوا حدثنا ما هي يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال هي النخلة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته سيدنا عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما reports he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Inna min ash-shajari shajaratan. Indeed, amongst the trees is a tree. La yasqutu waraquha, whose leaves do not fall. وَإِنَّهَا مَثَلُ الْمُسْلِمِ And it is like a Muslim. فَحَدِّثُونِ مَا هِيَ So tell me, inform me, what is this tree? What is the name of this tree? فَوَقَعَ النَّاسُ فِي شَجَرِ الْبَوَادِ People fell amongst the trees of the desert. قال Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله تعالى عنهما says, ووقع في نفسي. It came to my heart. أنها النخلة. That it is the date palm tree. فَاسْتَحْيَيْتُ But I experienced shyness. I became shy. And as a result, I remained silent. ثُمَّ قَالُ After a while, the Sahaba رِضْوَانُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ present in that gathering said to The beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hadithna ma hiya ya Rasulullah. Inform us, tell us what it is, what is the name of this tree that you are talking about, O the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ هِيَ النَّخْلَةُ. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is the date palm tree. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma reports an incident. He was sat in the gathering with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and in another narration he says, فَإِذَا أَنَا عَاشِرُ عَشَرَةٍ. There were 10 of us in this gathering. وَأَنَا أَحْدَثُهُمْ. And from amongst the 10 people that were sitting in this gathering with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, I was the youngest. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma also says, وَرَأَيْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ. In this gathering were Abu Bakr and Umar also radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma says that there was a gathering. 10 people were sat with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam posed a question to all of us, to the 10 of us, and I was the youngest of the 10. And the question was, he said, inna minash shajari shajaratan. There are so many trees that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So from amongst the trees that you know, the dwellers of Medina Munawwara, from amongst the trees that you know, there is a tree. And its sign is, the sign of this tree is, that I am talking about is, لا يسقط ورقها. The leaves of this tree does not fall. That means it is evergreen tree. Even during autumn and even during winter, the leaves don't fall. The leaves will remain on the tree green throughout the year. وَإِنَّهَا مَثَلُ الْمُسْلِمِ. And it is similar to a Muslim. It is like a Muslim. It is like a Muslim from what aspect? That we will discuss later. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that there is a tree from amongst the trees whose leaves don't fall throughout the 12 months. So tell me what that tree is, because that tree is like a Muslim. There is a lot of similarity between that tree and a Muslim. فَحَدِّسُنِي مَا هِيَ. So tell me what that tree is. فَوَقَعَ النَّاسُ فِي شَجَرِ الْبَوَادِ. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma says that the people fell, that means their thoughts fell. They started thinking about the tree and their thoughts fell in the trees of the deserts. So they started thinking about the tree regarding which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asking, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave two signs. One was a very clear sign that it is evergreen tree. Its leaves don't fall throughout the year. And the other sign, it is similar to a Muslim. So a person will have to think deep. That what is it that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is comparing in a Muslim with that tree, or in that tree with a Muslim? So there are two signs that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave. So they fell, فَوَقَعَ النَّاسُ. So people fell. That means Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala says that Some of the people who were sitting there, not all of them, some of the people who were sitting there, they fell amongst the trees of the desert. That means some of the people there thought about the question, and thereafter they started giving the answer, that is it this tree? Is it this tree? So their thinking went towards the trees of the desert. Is it this tree? Is it this tree? Is it this tree? Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu remained silent. We understand this from another narration. Ra'aytu Abu Bakr wa Umar la yatakallaman. He said, I looked at Abu Bakr and I looked at Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and I observed them that they are quiet. They remained silent. They did not speak. So here when he says, فَوَقَى النَّاسُ, the thoughts of the people went towards the trees of the desert, that means some of them. From amongst the 10, maybe all 8, or 7, or 6, or 5. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma says that I also started thinking. And it came to my mind that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is talking about the date palm tree. The minds of the other people did not go towards the date palm tree. But Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, I remained silent because of shyness. Why was I shy? I was shy out of respect for the elders who were sitting in the gathering. I was not shy of disgrace that I may answer wrongly and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will correct me in front of 9 people. No. A student is never shy. A student, when he is asked a question, he will answer whatever comes in his mind. Because it is through this process, asking the question, answering the question, sometimes we will answer correctly, sometimes we will answer incorrectly. But it is through the process of asking and answering, that we become firm in our knowledge. We have a student who does not answer. He had the correct answer in his mind, but he does not answer. Or he did not have the correct answer in his mind, or he did not have the answer at all, but he does not speak, he does not engage with the teacher. And there is another student who answers incorrectly, 8 out of 10 times incorrectly. He will progress more. Because when you make a mistake in front of everybody, you remember that mistake. You have made a mistake in front of everybody, so you remember that mistake. And when you remember that mistake, you will not make that mistake a second time. When you make a mistake, you feel embarrassed. And as a result, the next time you speak, you are careful. You will think hard. You will think deep. And you will try to reach the correct answer. So with adab, with respect, with reverence of the teacher, one should answer the question when he is asked. Majority of the times, we abstain from answering the question because of our pride and ego. Majority of the times. And there are so many students who may have experienced that 9 out of 10, I am thinking right. But I don't answer because I feel that I may be wrong. And this ego, this pride prevents him from answering, and as a result he is deprived of the attention and the dua of his teacher, which is very important in the acquisition of ilm. So politely, with adab, with respect, if we feel that this is the right answer or this seems like the correct answer, we should raise our hand and we should answer the teacher. If we are correct, the teacher will make dua for us. If we are incorrect, and again incorrect, and again incorrect, and again incorrect, the teacher will feel sorry for us and he will again make dua for us. So, as-su'alun nisful ilm. As-su'alun, question is half of ilm. So, the student should not, out of ego and out of pride, feel shy. If the question is asked, he should answer. And if he feels that there is a question that is bothering him, then again he should ask. So he should ask questions and he should answer questions also. Many a times again the same ego and pride, if I ask this question, maybe the whole class might feel that he could not understand such an insignificant item. And we stop. We don't realize that it's a very, very valid question. And if we were to ask that question, the teacher would have become very, very happy. The muallim, the ustad, he would have become very, very happy. And that question would have become the cause of the teacher realizing our potential. And we would have acquired his attention, we would have acquired his dua, his prayers. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that it came to my mind that the tree Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is talking about is a nakhla. It is the date palm tree. But he said, fastahiyaitu. Out of shyness I remained silent. This shyness was not as a result of ego or pride. No. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu himself says, Ra'itu Aba Bakrin wa Umara la yatakallaman. Fakarihtu an atakallama. He said, I knew the answer. And I was confident as well. That inshallah I will be right, but I remained silent. He was Allah gifted, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, one of the great companions of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transferred the knowledge to the ummah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I remained silent. Why? Because I looked at Abu Bakr and Umar and I saw that both of them are silent. So I disliked my speaking when the elders and the superiors are silent. فَاسْتَحْيَيْتُ ثُمَّ قَالُوا. So, those people who wanted to give a try, they gave a try and they were incorrect. I remained silent, Abu Bakr remained silent, Umar remained silent. Some other people may have remained silent. After a while, the people said, oh, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the answers we gave were incorrect, so now please you tell us. From here we also understand that the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in were haris fil ilm. They were greedy for ilm. What is our behavior when we are asked a question by our superiors, by our parents who have knowledge and they want to see us progress, that is why they ask us questions. Our teachers, our shuyukh, our asatida, when they ask us question, majority of us will just sit there blank. Our intention is not to delve into the question. We will not even try. Okay, fine. If we are shy, if ego or pride is preventing us, we may not speak. But at least try within yourself. Try to come to conclusion. Try to find the answer, but no. And the more we use our brain, the more sharp it becomes. It is like muscles. The more we use our muscles, the more stronger they become. The more we use our brains, the more sharp it becomes. Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala says, that, oh my brother, you will never be able to acquire ilm until you hold fast to six things. And from amongst the six things, one he mentioned is az-zaka, sharpness. If you are not sharp, if you don't have sharpness in understanding, you will not be able to become successful in acquiring ilm. So, a person who is naturally not sharp may come to this conclusion that ilm is not for me. Such people need to understand that the sharpness is of two types. One is natural sharpness, Allah given sharpness right from childhood. And the other is sharpness acquired through effort. So you have a person who is naturally sharp, very sharp, naturally. So he will understand things that the other will not be able to understand when the teacher is explaining, because he has natural sharpness. But the other one does not give up. He pays attention very carefully, he tries to understand. And if he is unable to, he will ask question and he will try to understand again. And if he is unable to in the class, then he will ask his friends, he will look at the commentaries, the shuruhat. And as a result of this striving, one day he will become sharp. And it's possible that he may surpass that person who was naturally sharp. So zaka, sharpness can be fitri and sharpness can be kasabi. You are able to acquire the sharpness. So always listen very, very attentively. If a question is posed by the teacher, then think, look for the answer. And if you feel that you have found the answer, give it a go. Give it a go. Inshallah, you will acquire the attention of your teacher. You will acquire the praise of your teacher, whether you are correct or incorrect. And the teachers also, if a weak student who is not so sharp naturally is trying, and if he makes a mistake, we should not make him the fun of the class. Sometimes some teachers make this mistake. And they completely destroy the courage of such a student who may have in the future become a great alim. Because if you make fun of him, if everybody laughs and even the teacher laughs and people make fun of this student, then he will not attempt a second time. He will not attempt a third time. So we need to encourage such weak students. So I urge all the students studying in the madrasa and students who are attending gurus like this, students who are studying books, if you have a question, ask. If you are asked a question and if you feel that yes, you have come to a conclusion, then attempt to answer. Try to use your brain. The more you use your brains, the more sharp it will become. But the not so fortunate students who are not very sharp, they don't use their brains. 6 months, 8 months down the course, they just give up. They just give up. In the class, they will not pay attention. Why? Because they will rely on the sharp student to teach them outside class. Why? Why should that happen? Try to acquire as much as possible direct from the ustad, from the teacher. Because the barakat you will acquire from the ilm that will be passed on to you from your teacher will be very, very different from that ilm which you acquire from your fellow classmate. And thereafter, learn from other people, learn from the shuruhat, learn from the books. Never give up. Keep trying. There are so many people in history who were not so clever, but they became a'imma. Because they never gave up. They continued trying. And the teachers also, they should pay attention to sharp and not very sharp, both categories of students, and they should try to encourage both. It is very, very important for the teacher to recognize the potential that each and every student has. There may be a student in the class who is very, very sharp, but who is not very religiously inclined. So the teacher should know this potential. That he is very sharp, but not very much religiously inclined. And there is another student who is not very sharp, but he is religiously inclined. So there are more possibilities of this person serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the one who is sharp. So the teacher should not only look at this aspect that because he is very sharp, he will be able to do something after he graduates. No. It's possible that he may not be able to do anything because he is not very much inclined towards the khidmat of deen. And he is not so sharp, but he will be able to. So these are the potentials we have to look at. And the teacher should be eager to make each and every student of his the leader of the ummah. That should be his eagerness, that I want each and every student of mine to become the leader of the ummah. If this is the eagerness of the teacher, then whenever he will see some weakness anywhere, that he is lazy, that is weakness. He is not so sharp, that is weakness. His memory is weak, that is weakness. He is unwell, so he stays absent from the class frequently, that is his weakness. Weakness in him. He has pride, that is his weakness. He is lazy, that is his weakness. So he will pray. Because his goal is to make each and every single one of them leaders of the ummah, so he will worry that this is the, so he will pray to Allah. And Allah accepts the prayers of the teacher in favor of the students. Nowadays, teachers don't pray for the students. They feel that my responsibility is to go into the class and impart the lesson, deliver my lecture, and then it's up to them. No, my friends. No. So listen very carefully. What you don't understand, ask. When you are asked, if you are able to answer, answer. Think, try to find the answer. Whether you are able to or not. Try, Allah will help you. Turn to Allah and say, O Allah. Ya mufahima Sulaiman fahimni. Ya muallima Adam wa Ibrahim allimni. Help me, help me. Oh Allah, help me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has taught the ummah that if you are alone in the desert or in the jungle, desert, jungle, you are traveling, and you face difficulty, and you have no one to help you, at that time you should say, Ya Ibadallah, A'inuni, Ya Ibadallah, A'inuni, Ya Ibadallah, A'inuni. Oh, the servants of Allah, help me. Oh, the servants of Allah, help me. Oh, the servants of Allah, help me. So when studying, say to Allah that, O Allah, help me, and also say, O the servants of Allah, help me. The angels who are covering you from all four sides may be able to help you. Through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never give up. Never give up. Always say to Allah. This sword should never come whilst you are studying. It's not for me. I will just become an insignificant alim. I may be able to teach alif, ba, ta, sa, no. People have changed overnight. Overnight Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them sharp. Overnight. So I was saying that if our teachers asks us a question, our attitude is that majority of us don't even want to think about the answer, because what we have in mind is that from the 20 of us, he is sharp, he is sharp, he is sharp, and he is sharp. So either of these four will speak. No, we should attempt. And if the whole class is unable to give the correct answer, or if everybody is remains silent, and the teacher also remains silent. He does not talk about the question further. He does not answer. We don't have the zeal. And we do not say, our respected teacher, what is the answer to the question you asked us? نوزيل a businessman who was also a talib al-ilm, and he was talib of hadith, talib of fiqh. He traveled with the intention of both acquiring ilm and doing business. So he traveled from his country to another country, and he acquired ilm from the mashayikh there. And thereafter, when the time came to return to his country, he bought the goods. In those days, a person used to go with all his wealth, 50,000 dinars or 5,000 dinars or 2,000, the whole fortune. There were no banks, no checks, no transfers. So he would go with his wealth, and he would buy with all his wealth those goods which are not available in his country. And he would come and he would sell, and he would make a profit. So he bought all the goods, because now the acquisition of ilm was over. He was to return again. And everything was purchased. All the camels were hired. And tomorrow morning he is going to travel. And during the night he found the opportunity to perform Salatul Tahajjud with one of his senior teachers, a Muhaddis. So he performed Salatul Tahajjud. During Salatul Tahajjud, in that same room where he and his teacher were performing Salatul Tahajjud, during Salatul Tahajjud, he heard his teacher recite some verses from the glorious Quran in a particular fashion, during the Salat or after Salat, which he had never seen anybody do before. And he had not come across any hadith narrating this particular amal. So it was something new for him. So he became very happy that, alhamdulillah, during the last night of my stay here, I have learned something new. But I need to know the source of this amal. So after the tahajjud salat, he said, my respected teacher, I am traveling this morning, and alhamdulillah, I was fortunate to have performed Salatul Tahajjud with you. I saw you today doing something which I have never seen anyone do before, and I have never come across this amal in any of the hadiths. Can you please provide the source for me? From which hadith did you acquire this ilm? So for some reason or other, the ustad said, wallahi, la uhaddisannaka bihi sanatan. He said, by Allah, I will not narrate that hadith to you for one whole year. For one whole year, I will not narrate that. Wallahi, he said, by Allah. He said, qasam, by Allah, I will. He took an oath, by Allah, I will not narrate this hadith to you for one whole year. Businessman who had spent months acquiring ilm, he was returning now according to his schedule, and he had spent all his fortune buying everything, hiring the camels, and now to break the contract and to sell the goods, he will not be able to acquire the same amount of money. He will have to make loss in hundreds or maybe thousands. And it's only one hadith. That would have been our attitude. It's only one hadith. I have acquired so many hadiths, and the ustad is not prepared to narrate to me, no problem. He cancelled his trip. He made a loss and he sold everything. He cancelled the contract of the camels that he had hired. And he remained in that country for another whole year, engaged in acquiring ilm, but the adab was so high that he did not speak to his teacher regarding that hadith even once, until the whole year passed. And when 360 days passed, he said, my Sheikh, do you remember what happened a year ago? I asked you regarding a hadith, and you said that by Allah, I will not narrate that hadith to you until one year. One year is over, please narrate it to me. This is the zeal that they had. This is the zeal that they had. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to a sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that before I leave this masjid, I will definitely teach you a surah which is like this and which is like this and which is like this. And after that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became engaged in something. And then he left to leave the masjid. Before he reached the door of the masjid, the sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you not say this to me? That you will teach me a surah which is like this and like this before you leave the masjid? For them, ilm was everything. Because it is through amal a person progresses in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and amal is not possible without ilm. So ilm was everything to them. So our behavior and our attitude is that if the teacher asks a question, we wait for him to answer, we wait for the bright students to give the answer. And if nobody answers, and if the teacher walks away from us, or we will not say that. And if we say that, my respected teacher, can you please let us know the answer to your question, and if he just walks away, we will not find a single student from the group that will ask the teacher the following day or the day after. We will not find a single student who will persist. Because to us, not knowing one thing is not really a problem. We already know enough. Look at the culture here. He said, some people gave answers but incorrect. Others remained silent. I also remained silent out of respect for my beloved Father Umar and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, some time passed in that gathering, and when they saw that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not saying anything, they said, Haddithna ma hiya ya Rasulullah. Oh, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please, let us know what it is. Let us know the name of the tree. Qala hiya al-nakhlatu. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is the date. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the zeal to acquire ilm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connect us all, connect every individual of the ummah to ilm sahih, to authentic, correct ilm. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant every individual of the ummah the tawfiq to connect to authentic, reliable ulama, whose chain goes right to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connect us to the glorious Quran, connect us to the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, connect us to the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May we acquire ilm in abundance, which is full of barakah, which is full of noor. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to practice that ilm with ikhlas, sincerity, and with istiqamah, with steadfastness. And thereafter, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the zeal to pass on that ilm to each and every individual living on the surface of this earth. And thereafter, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the courage and grant us all the resources to do that. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi.